Hey, 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 welcome. Nice to see you. It's been a while. Welcome to season two of my podcast. For the new ones out there, my name is Tiago. I am a Portuguese indie maker, an indie founder, which is, and I guess if you're listening to this, you already know what this means, but an indie maker, indie hacker, indie founder in this case is someone that loves making products. It's like an entrepreneur without any VC or external investment. So the idea for indie makers, indie hackers, is that we bootstrap our companies. So we just use our time, we just use our skills, our experiments to bootstrap the company, start a company, but we don't have any external money. Now, if the first time you're listening to this, you definitely will notice that there are already a lot of episodes before this one. Those episodes were belonging to this podcast, true, but with a different name. Before, this podcast used to be named The Wannabe Entrepreneur. And now I decided to change it. Now it's called Indie Founder. I took a long break between my last episode and now, because I wanted to reinvent myself, take some time off, and I don't know, I was, to be honest, just not feel like sharing. I didn't feel like it. But now I'm back, and I'm very excited. I miss this. I really miss this podcast, so it was good to take some time off. And I was playing with the idea of maybe creating a new episode, or rather a new podcast, playing with the idea of renaming it. I didn't really know what to do, and because of that, because I wasn't sure, I was just elongating this wait longer than it was necessary. So I just thought, hey, Tiago, just forget about it, rename the show, and let's get on with it. So before we get into today's episode, let me kind of share why I decided to change the name. The reason is because I started to dislike the name for some reason. I mean, The Wannabe Entrepreneur was a name that always raised some eyebrows, and it came from a place of lack of self-confidence, right? So if you are an early listener of the show, you know that I've been narrating my story, my indie story, the story of myself leaving my job and then becoming an entrepreneur, full-time entrepreneur, since the beginning in this show. So if you go back to the first episode, I was still making $0 with my projects, and I was still very unsure if this was even possible. I worked for 8 years of my life for others in a normal job, a 9 to 5, I don't even know anymore, 9 to 5 job. And I don't know, this thing of living off my own projects, of being my own boss, of having my own company, it always felt like a very far-fetched dream, a dream that is impossible, because as well, a lot of people around me, like my friends, they don't really do this. So yeah, the name kind of came from this place, the wannabe entrepreneur place. From one side, I want to be an entrepreneur, and that's why wannabe entrepreneur. But then the connotation of wannabe kind of comes out of like a poser, someone that wants to be something and never is. So this also came, I believe, from a place of protection. I was protecting myself. Let me just give this name so that in case this doesn't work, in case this podcast doesn't work, in case my dream doesn't come true, I had this name to protect myself. And it was good. It served me really well. I had amazing guests in the show. To be honest, no one ever really cared about the name. So it's not really, you know, sometimes I would think that people would come to the show and I'll introduce them as a guest of the Wannabe Entrepreneur, and they could take it in the wrong way, but that never happened. So a name is just something that others, even if others think that it's not correct, it doesn't really matter that much. At least it didn't matter in this case. But now it did for me. I wanted to do something new, and I decided to call it Indie Founder. Why Indie Founder? Well, I guess it's obvious, because I'm an indie maker. I want to continue being an indie maker. I've learned something about being a VC in this or working with VCs, especially because a lot of our competitors are VCs as well. And I don't like it. I don't like this kind of perspective of doing business. I think that it's a bit fake. I think that there's a lot of pretending, and I much prefer the indie making way, where you actually build something that people want and you're profitable from day one. So that's why the indie part. And then why founder and not founders is because this podcast is mostly about my story. I narrate my story, I narrate my experiments, my learnings, my reflections. And of course, every once in a while, I interview other makers, other indie founders especially. And there's tons of them that I've already interviewed in the previous episodes that you can go and check out. More recently, I interviewed Rob Walling. I think it was one of the best interviews we did in the show, so make sure to check that out. And yeah, I'll try to bring other indie makers here to the show. Now, let's get started with today's episode. What is the topic? And as you can see from the title, at this point, I haven't written the title yet, but should be around new product or flare cut or something. So yeah, this episode will be all about this new product that we just launched. So as you know, I have another product. This is a product actually making me money. It's called PodSqueeze. And let me tell you the story on how my co-founder and I decided to launch a new product and why. So we launched PodSqueeze a year and 6-7 months ago. So it's been a while. And the story was really, really cool from the beginning. We started getting a lot of traction. We started getting some decent MRR. The MRR was growing a lot. And it grew for like 7-8 months. To be honest, when we were in this ascension, when our MRR was growing, I thought that it would never end. You know, I don't know if you like to go to the casino or to gamble. I mean, I'm not a huge gambler, but I like sometimes to go to the casino and play $20 or something just for fun. And it already happened to me one or two times when I'm having this like lucky strike when everything goes right and I'm getting all this money and it seems, wow, this will never end. So that's kind of what I was feeling, what we were feeling with PodSqueeze. But as you know, as a lot of I guess game or casino addicts unfortunately know as well, is that your luck, the house always wins. And your luck is bound to run out, and eventually you need to cash in and move forward, right? And what happened with PodSqueeze, maybe this is not the best example because it's not necessarily gamble, but is that we stopped growing. So around 7 months, 8 months after launching PodSqueeze, our growth was stagnating. And it's been kind of stagnated for the past, I guess, year or so. Not totally. I mean, just for you to give you some numbers, we reached around 13K MRR in 6-7 months. It was crazy. And then for the next year, we are now reaching 16K MRR, right? So in comparison to the first months of growth, the second, you know, the next year of PodSqueeze was very slow. And eventually, the passion for the product changed. I mean, it's not that it died, it didn't, but it's like any relationship. In the beginning, everything is amazing and exciting and new, and then eventually you get used to it. So I started feeling that, especially for my co-founder, the flame was kind of going out a little bit. I'm, to be honest, still very, and we are both still very passionate for PodSqueeze, but I was still very excited because I still believe, and I know, and in the past 2 months, we've seen a reignite of the flame, and PodSqueeze starting to grow again, but that, I guess, will come in a different episode. But I still believe that PodSqueeze can be huge. And I still believe that eventually we'll sell it. We'll sell it for the goal is to sell it for more than a million. And I still believe that's possible. I still believe that we'll be able to reach that. But for my co-founder, and I think that definitely we are very different people. We have very complementary skills, and we are both entrepreneurs. We have both the drive to do stuff, but the things that motivate us are different. For him, I believe it's more concrete, specific tasks and results that you can see right away. And for me, it's kind of the dream. I'm more a passionate guy. I think that, no, wait, if we keep doing this, we'll eventually get there, even if we don't see the results right now. So in around, I think, June, I started noticing that my co-founder was feeling a bit low energy, not so motivated. And I thought, no, man, we need to change this, right? Because first of all, we need him to be fully motivated. And second, like, it's not fun if you're not super into it, right? So we had a conversation, my co-founder and I. We are both living in Lisbon, Portugal, very close to each other. So it's really good, actually, to we often take our bikes and go for a bike ride or work together. And I asked him, like, what's going on? Like, what do you think would kind of reignite the flame for entrepreneurship? And he's kind of always toying with the idea of starting something new. Okay, let's start another project, because that's, to be honest, what other makers, like, for instance, Peter Levels, do. They start building a lot of projects, a lot of products, and the collection of all these MRRs will eventually together be a lot of money. So I was always a little bit against that idea, because I felt, man, but I have so much work with Podsqueeze. There's still so much that can be done with this. Why would we start something else? And to be honest, every time we would mention this idea to other makers, they would be like, dude, why? Like, you have Podsqueeze. Podsqueeze is amazing. But for him, for João, my co-founder, he thought, no, I mean, Podsqueeze is under control. Yeah, we know what we need to keep doing. So we have time, we have space to start something new. So I told him, dude, this time you are the lead. And I'm not saying that I was necessarily the lead for Podsqueeze, but I had the idea, right? And I am the podcaster, and I was the one actually, I don't know, leading the product in the way that I understand the market better, I guess, being a podcaster. And this time I told him, no. You will be the lead. You will plan. You will have the idea of the project, of what we're gonna do, what do we're gonna do, and now we have a developer. So it's not only me. So we have a developer. You will work with this developer, and you will build the product together. And I'll keep focusing on Podsqueeze. You know, it seemed to be at the time the perfect solution, and he was very excited about this. He was like, "Okay, cool, amazing." And I saw that flame reigniting, and he was just like toying around with multiple ideas. And he tried to see, okay, what is working for Podsqueeze? Like, what worked? He tried to kind of come up with a recipe that would show what was working for Podsqueeze, and so that we could replicate it. And it took him, like, I think 1-2 weeks of exploring multiple ideas. And then he eventually came with the idea of Flarecut. Flarecut is a tool that help you to create video, to create short videos, shorts like the ones that you see on TikTok, Reels, or YouTube Shorts. But you can do this with AI. So the idea is that you just kind of paste your script, your idea, and we'll generate the full video and audio. And to be honest, I thought, wow, that's genius. That's a great idea. I love it, because it's also solving our own problem. As with Podsqueeze, we want to release on social media, but it's so hard to make nice videos. And it's very expensive. We need to hire someone. We need to do the editing. And we tried doing that a few times. And then we would release them and get, you know, 100, 200 views. So it was not worth it. So we thought, okay, this is a great idea. I mean, for people like us, this is great. You can just repurpose your content. And the initial idea is, repurpose your blog posts, your articles that we have tons, by the way, written already. Repurpose those into videos. And okay, great. That was the idea, and we implemented it. We started by giving the framework, the plan, the roadmap to our developer, Rishav, and he started doing it. And he started working on it, and was working with Jerome, and I was focusing still on Podsqueeze. And one thing that we notice is, especially in this kind of, in the beginning of a project, it's very crucial to be fast. It's very crucial to be flexible. And our developer, he only works half the time. We cannot even afford it to pay him a full-time job. So he basically works half time, 4 hours per day. And eventually we realized that was not enough. We need someone that is always there working overtime and constantly bouncing ideas with João so that we would get this done. So actually, even for the first, I think, month or so, João built the whole UI. He is now kind of a front-end developer already. He does all the HTML because he's also a designer, so he does that really well. And Richav kind of built the backbones of the product. And then eventually, because João was getting a bit frustrated on how long this was taking, I told Richav that I would now take over and build on top of what he had already built, which was already amazing. And for like two entire weeks, I was all in on this, just building, working whatever, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, trying to build as fast as possible because I was also going on holiday not long after that. So I wanted to release it. And in the end, the product was really good. I mean, you can try it at flarecut.com. It's so cool. Like the AI has evolved to the point where you can make such amazing videos with great voice, human-like voices. And I was very excited. I thought, wow. And in the meantime, we started realizing that there are already other similar tools. There's like Auto Shorts, for instance. There's a bunch of other similar tools. But we thought, okay, it's fine. I mean, let's release it. Let's see. And we did the release. We released it kind of a soft release on Twitter, on Reddit, and João also posted in all these directories and stuff like that. And I went to vacations eventually, so I was a bit disconnected. But we didn't see a lot of traction. Yeah. So opposite to PodSqueeze, that had immediately a lot of traction. And this is always what I tell to people. Try to find this product market fit. Try to see a traction that you've never seen before. We haven't seen this so far with Flarecut, which is a bit disappointing because the product it sounds good. I mean, I use the product for our TikTok account, right? So it's solving my own problem. So this also kind of makes me, and a lot of people ask me this about PodSqueeze, like, hey, Tiago, why do you think PodSqueeze worked? Like, what do you think was good? Like, what did you do well? And now what I answer them is like, I don't know. It's really easy to, in retrospect, look back and say, yeah, PodSqueeze worked because it's a product or it's solving a problem that everyone has, plus it's AI, plus the UI is great. I mean, this is all bullshit. Because we tried to replicate exactly the same recipe, and it's exactly the same, you know, with Flarecut, and it didn't work. So there's luck. There's luck involved. And don't tell me that is wrong, because there is no recipe that will determine if a product will succeed or not. So, yeah. That was a bit frustrating because we were hoping to get a few, I don't know, different kind of launch. We did get one paying client, and this client paid a couple of times. And the reason why I'm saying this is because this time we didn't go for a SaaS. So it's not a subscription-based product, at least yet. So here you pay to get X downloads. So you pay, you get 10 downloads, and then you can download the videos without the watermark. So you can try it with the watermark for free. You can do any downloads you want. Because what really excited us about Flarecut is this marketing loop. I've been dreaming with the marketing loop with PodSqueeze for so long. And basically, if you don't know what this is, marketing loop is this concept that when people use your product, they will eventually kind of advertise your product. That's the idea, right? So for instance, let's say a lot of products that are image-based, when they have the watermark, yes, they to release, to share this with the world, the watermark goes there. Or a product of, I don't know, N26 or PayPal, right? If I want to use PayPal with my friend needs PayPal. So I'm advertising PayPal so that we can use it together, for instance. So I've been always dreaming to find such a marketing loop, like a product with this kind of framework that would allow us to grow really, really fast. And that was actually one of our requisites when building a product. There was a bunch of them. This was one. The other one is that we wanted a big market, a generic market, because podcasting is not a huge market. So we wanted people, in this case, like video creation, video content, and marketing. It's huge, huge, huge market. And there's tons of, you know, TikTok is huge, and there's tons of products in this space. So we had everything checked out in our lists, but it just didn't work. And now we have been trying to pivot it a little bit. To be honest, now I use it. I use it for myself. And I'm trying to make it as useful for me as possible, because and testing and this strategy of like reproducing and sharing these TikTok videos. But yeah, that after the launch, I don't know, it kind of bumped us out a little bit. And now we actually already launched another product. Yeah, since then. And I guess this will come for another episode. But the strategy here is a bit different this time. And this is me now looking back, of course. Looking back, trying to come up with some theory why this didn't work. And this theory is probably wrong. But let me tell it anyway. So when we launched PodSqueeze, we launched it in the perfect timing. AI, ChatGPT, it just came out, and we launched it, and everyone was so excited about this. Just for you to understand, podcasters, before they had a tool like PodSqueeze, they would either pay someone or transcribe the show by hand and then write all the show notes and all this stuff. And then from one day to the other, you can just upload your audio and in minutes and for really cheap price get all of this done. So it's mind-blowing, right? So people got very excited. And I believe that this kind of created this buzz, this wave that took us along for at least the first 7-8 months. This is not the same now with Flarecut, because we are a bit late, because there's other similar products and people are not so excited with AI as they were before. So there's one thing, though, that has changed a lot, which is now we fucking know SEO. Yes, SEO is probably one of the best things you will learn as a marketeer. So as a indie maker, obviously, you need to know all of these other multiple areas, product building, design, and marketing is crucial. And SEO is probably one of the best because it's very reproducible. SEO, there's a bunch of things that you can do that will most likely bring results always. So that's really cool. And we know and we understand it. Because of PodSqueeze, we understand SEO very, very well. João, especially my co-founder, understands it really well. And we have a team, right? We have Adebayo, which is our content writer. We have a team that is ready to start pumping content and growing our domain authority and getting SEO. So João did some kind of keyword analysis and he said, no, but there's still a lot to grow here. Like there's a lot of keywords related to video creation, video for TikTok that we can explore. We can rank really well on Google in those keywords. So if we start ranking there, then we'll have to eventually bring clients because our competitors are bringing clients. Our product is great. Why wouldn't this work? So that's the current theory. João is working really hard to get all this content ready to start ranking us on Google, start growing our domain authority. We are trying to do a lot of stuff and like ranking or creating blog posts and landing pages around the best keywords. We are trying to grow our domain authority with backlinks, a lot of stuff. And the strategy is that eventually in a month or 2 months, we start to rank on Google and we'll start seeing some growth with Flarecut. So I'll keep you posted. Definitely keep you posted on how this will turn out. But so far, go to, I don't know, I really like the product. So I would love to get your feedback. Make sure to go to flarecut.com. And you can make a product for free, a product. You can make a video completely for free or two or three or four. And it's quite exciting. And yeah, try it out and let me know how it works. And that's the end of today's episode. The first episode of this new season, the Indie Founder, the first episode of Indie Founder. If you want to support this podcast, I have launched a merch store. is really cool. It's called indiemakermerch.com. And I have really cool t-shirts. I have a t-shirt that says like Indie Maker and there's like ramen on the back. I have posters, I have hoodies, I have a mug, and I'll start adding more and more stuff there. So it's really cool. I already got one for myself and I'm really proudly always wearing it. So it's really nice. And that's a way as well for you to get some cool merch and support this podcast to support the Indie Founder. Actually, I might also create some merch around Indie Founder with the Indie Founder name. I think that would be really cool. Yeah, so indiemakermerch.com. And yeah, it's great to be back. If you want to reach out to me, make sure to shoot me a message at WBTiago on Twitter. The links will be in the show notes of this episode. And yeah, welcome back for myself, for you. Let's conquer the indie world together. Cheers.